Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution, with your host, Michael B.
My name is Michael B, and this is the Truth Zone, coming to you live from North Dallas, Texas, on this somewhat cloudy but cooler Wednesday morning, August 2nd, 2017. So yesterday, and it took up an hour and a half, and I'm not even done with the first article. To recap quickly, I had a debate of sorts with two self-professed atheists that God doesn't exist, and that science, excuse me, and if you hear something in my mouth, I apologize. I have a cough drop in my mouth to abate my allergic cough. I apologize for not taking it earlier, so please bear with me. Yeah, I just forgot to take it. So, I was hit with, well, science proved that the Canaanites weren't destroyed, like the Bible said it, said they were. And so, in answering, I found it quickly that in the book of Judges, it showed that the Canaanites were not wiped out, that the Israelites failed to complete God's command. And as we humans do, we fail. But at least the ancient Israelites admitted it in their writings because, well, you know, they were inspired by God and they're not going to lie. And as we progress through the article that I'm going to present to you, with which may take going all the way into Friday, maybe even Monday, we'll see, because there's a lot of meat here. And like I said, if you're truly interested in arming yourselves against unbelievers, against atheists, and even politically, because you could tie in certain parts of politics to this, I'm going to arm you with many, many weapons through this podcast. You will be armed and ready if it is your desire to help spread and share the truth, be it on Facebook, be it on Twitter, or much more importantly, with your family. And then if you want to share it with your friends, of course. All of my work that I do, please feel free to share. Download the episodes. My stats show that several episodes have been downloaded. Please go ahead. The only copyright thing that I have is my theme song. I had that specially created. And thetruthzone.com is my domain property. Other than that, everything on YouTube, my channel, of course, is The Truth Zone. Please, share it, cut it up, edit it, do it. I have a public page, Facebook. Again, The Truth Zone, no rules. Post what you feel is important. Take my articles and share them. It's funny. A few times I've been asked, is it okay to share this? I'm like, please, go, take it, share it. Absolutely. This is what this is all about. Sharing information. And, you know, if we could reach, each of us, one person a day and give them that aha moment, if we can somehow get a light bulb to go off in their minds, for me, that's a big accomplishment. And that's what I'm trying to do. So let's dive in. Let's continue on with that first article. So I had left off, and I'll read the last line. Proportionally, Lebanon has the highest rate of Christians in the Middle East, where the percentage ranges from 39 to 40.5%, followed directly by Egypt and Syria, where most likely Christians account for about 10%. And before this fabricated civil war, bankrolled by the United States of America, and perhaps Britain as well, to overthrow Assad in the continuation of the Arab Spring, Christians were much more protected in both countries, because before Mohammed Morsi got in there, an absolute member of the Muslim Brotherhood, who didn't last long, Coptic Christians had a better pre-regime change as opposed to post-regime change. So let's continue with the fresh material. The Telegraph article deliberately told a lie, and the papers and websites that picked up the story also told a lie. Is it any wonder that the media has lost our trust? Well, statistically, they've lost our trust. That is true. The audiences have dwindled. That is true. But speaking from a personal experience, I am still getting opposition from Facebook universe, mostly Twitter. And no insult, really, to my listeners who are on Facebook. It's not meant for you. It's meant in general. Twitter does seem to be more intellectual. They just do. And their responses, even when they don't agree with me, are a lot less childish than what's on Facebook. But I'm still getting attacked when I use independent sources. And I know why I'm getting that. Anything that people on the left or the angry patriots who wanted Ted Cruz or Gary Johnson, who was a flaming liberal, or this Eric McMullen, who was a CIA plant to try to grab Utah, didn't work. They're angry and frustrated, and they just, oh, Alex Jones, ha ha ha, or Sinovich, ha ha ha, or the Daily Caller, ha ha ha. Fake news. It's got to be fake. Because they don't want to deal with the truth. So, even though statistically the media has lost our trust, I still see a lot of CNN usage. I still see a lot of Fox News usage. I don't see Snopes being used as fact-checking, really, almost. They're almost not existent on Facebook, at least what I'm facing. And I put up an article where the couple got divorced. He used some of the Snopes money to pay for his divorce. And now he's marrying some porn star. And it just makes sense because they're a bunch of leftist liars. And a woman who lives practically in a trailer, I guess, with a bunch of cats. I don't think they have much credibility. So, anyway. So, the article continues. Let's see them, the articles that gave a false title, tell a similar lie or even the truth about Muhammad and Islam. Don't hold your breath. Well, they won't talk about Muhammad and Islam because the globalists are protecting, as I've said, they're protecting Islam because the globalists and Islam serve the same master, and that is Satan, Lucifer, the devil. And the globalists are funding the Muslims to carry out the physical attacks. And they've fabricated this fake war on terror, which, if anything, terrorism has increased all over the world, especially in the Middle East itself, Western Europe, and coming to America. Because the globalists are moving these people into our countries. I told you Monday that Cuba, for now, is receiving at least 100 Muslims a year to convert people. And they're being funded to do so. So, it comes down here about, oh, this is the end of the article. Good. So, okay, and then the article gives a lot of references at the end. That's what I got distracted with. So, let's read some of that anyway. For a study of the wiping out of the Canaanites, see Clay Jones, Killing the Canaanites, a response to the new atheism's divine genocide claims, Christian Research Journal. Maybe I'll check that out. Number two, the odd thing is, the painting accompanying the article depicts the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, an event that happened in the book of Genesis, right? Sodom and Gomorrah had nothing to do with the Canaanites, totally different area. Otto Scott was struck by the authenticity of the gospel accounts of Jesus' life because they didn't agree on every point. Scott recounts how he became a Christian after reading the Gospels. Quote, well, my wife was Christian and took her daughter to church all the time. I would attend out of courtesy. One night I was reading late and my little girl came out of the bedroom and wanted to know about this business of turning the other cheek. I had no idea where that idea came from, but I thought it might be the Bible. I had a Bible in the house, of course. And I picked it up and read the Gospels, all four in one swoop. It was the differences, excuse me, in the testimony of these four different men that convinced me. Excuse me. Now, usually, non-believers that try to make us stumble say that the Gospels contradict each other because they're written differently, whereas this man is saying, because the testimony of four different men, and there were differences that convinced him they were authentic. And here's why. As a reporter, I had interviewed a lot of men, and I was on the crime beat at one point. I knew that if you get four men who tell you the same story, they probably are colluding because no four men see the same thing, the same resemblance in the reporting of certain incidents in the Gospels. They were not identical. I was instantly convinced. I don't think a person could have convinced me. But and what he's saying is someone like me talking to him. But those varying contemporary histories did. So, here's an intelligent man who has experience in interviewing people, realizes that four different men, the Gospels were similar, but written in their own experiences that they saw because, well, Luke was a physician. He came later. He was not the original 12. He came later and actually traveled with Paul. Mark, Matthew, and John were the original. Now, since John was also called the one that Jesus loved, probably had a closer relationship. And John came before Matthew. Remember, Matthew was the tax collector. He was brought in later. So John really saw Jesus almost from day one of his ministry. And Mark as well, I believe, came in before Matthew. So, naturally, these men who came into different time periods are going to see different things. That makes sense. That adds to the validity. So, let's move on about a very interesting situation. Now, since I am audio, it'll be tough for you to get a visual. So when I post to Facebook, I'm going to attempt to have a map of the Nile Delta. What is the Nile Delta? Well, it's part of the Mediterranean where Lower Europe is separated from North Africa and the Middle East. It spans from Spain and Morocco all the way to the Black Sea, where Greece, I believe Bulgaria, and Turkey all reside. And there's a split in continents from Africa and Asia, where you then have, you have North Africa, you have Egypt, then the continent breaks off into Asia. You have the Israelites, you have Syria. They might be on the African side, not sure. And then you have Iran, Iraq, which was the Mesopotamia area. Now, why am I talking about this? Well, there was an article, and it was posted not quite 3 months ago, titled 7.2 million year old pre-human remains found in Bulgaria and Greece show the first pre-humans developed in the Balkans and not Africa. You see, we have been led to believe. Now, I never believed it. I never believed it. That the oldest bones, no, let me rephrase, that man began in subterranean Africa. That was all a push to show that, see, the black man was here first. That was all leftist spin to revise history. And here's why I say that. If subterranean Africans were here first, why then, as the white man in the age of imperialism, traveled down to Africa, took it over so easily because they were in grass skirts and spears? Whereas the white Europeans coming down, including the Greeks, had trebuchets, metal spears, and armor. Like, why? You would think if humanity started at the so-called point A, they would be the most developed. I mean, time would say so. So, I never believed it, ever. Now, if people said that human beings began in North Africa, again, Egypt, the Syrian region, I'll believe that, because that's part of the Garden of Eden. And I'll get to that down the road. So, when this article came out, that they found the oldest pre-human remains in Bulgaria and Greece, well, yeah. Because that's part of the Nile Delta, which is part of the Garden of Eden. Now, this article is going to talk about how man split off from apes. That part I'm not going to buy. Sorry. Sorry. That's still theory, in my opinion. Because so far, everything in the Bible has checked out 100%. This article validates the location of where man should have started and did begin in the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden had four river heads. And we'll talk about that. It says it right in the Bible. And the Tigris and the Euphrates run right through Baghdad. Especially the Tigris runs right through Baghdad. Or is it the Euphrates? Either one. And Iraq was Babylon. Chaldea. The Mesopotamians. Iran was Persia. So, it makes sense. Abram, who became Abraham, was pulled out of Chaldea and moved west into the land of Canaan, as I spoke about yesterday, which became Israel. See, that all makes sense. Ethiopia, I believe, was the lowest African country mentioned in the Hebrew Scriptures. Nothing else on down. And that makes sense. Because God planted the Garden of Eden along the Nile Delta. So let's move into the article. In-depth research. Now, I just want to say, there's a picture of an ape human-like being. Now, understand this. A graphic reconstruction of the face of Graeocapithecus freibergi, the first pre-human whose fossils have been found in Bulgaria and Greece. So, here we go again. A graphic reconstruction. Does that make it 100% accurate? I'm going to say no. And like an artist making a painting or a sculpture, you cannot help but have a predetermined outcome of what you're creating. You just can't do it. So, can we honestly say that this reconstruction had no predetermination in it? Had no bias in it? No. And they're saying these bones are 7.2 million years old. Well, see, isn't it interesting how the dates change all the time? Man was around 10 million years. Man was around 5 million years. Man was around 2 million years. All the earth is around this. All the earth is around that. All we have carbon dating. Do you see how it changes all the time? Because it is impossible to determine the exact date of anything. Why? Because we weren't there. But the Bible gives us rough indicators of what days and years are to God. Remember, God is the creator. Now, one thing we have to go on is that a day to Jehovah is 1,000 years to us. And since we know that God can do anything he wants, could the earth have been made in 6,000 years? Well, maybe. Was anybody there to say no? Nope. So, you could tell me all day long, well, the earth is millions of years old. Maybe, but you weren't there when it was created. And the Bible says a year, 1,000 years is to a day. So I could say, well, the earth was created in 6,000 years. You can't prove me wrong 100%. You can't do it. You could either decide to go by scientific data, which seems to be changing all the time, or you can just say through faith, it doesn't matter. Six 24-hour days, which I don't believe is true, or 6,000 years, Which is possible through God or millions of years. Here's the point. The Bible gives us a location of the Garden of Eden, and now it has been proven, whether how old they are or if they split off of monkeys, the oldest human bones have not come out of subterranean Africa. They've come out of the Nile Delta. Amen. Period. The little nuances mean nothing. So, in-depth research by an international team of scholars of roughly, two roughly 7.2 old pre-human fossils discovered in Bulgaria and Greece demonstrates that the split of the human lineage, and again, whatever, occurred in the Balkans and not in Africa as conventionally thought. The research team includes scholars from Germany, Bulgaria, Greece, Canada, France, and Australia. It is headed by Professor Madeleine Bome from the Seckenberg Center for Human Evolution, which again is a theory, not a law, and Paleo Environment at the University of Tübingen, I guess, and Professor Nikolai Spassov from the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences, who is the director of the National Museum of Natural History in Sofia, which means wisdom in Greek, by the way. The team's research has now outlined a new scenario for the beginning of human history by demonstrating that the common lineage of great apes and humans has split several hundred thousand years earlier than hitherto assumed. See, assumed. Guessed. See? Not stated, not proven, not fact. Hypothesized. Okay? The researchers have reached their conclusions based on the study of two fossils of Gracilopithecus Freibergi, a 7.2 million year old upper premolar discovered in Asmaca, an area near Chirpan in southern Bulgaria, and a 7.175 million year old lower jaw found in Pygros Vasilisis, I guess on May 23rd, in metropolitan Athens, Greece. Their findings have been published in two papers in the journal PLOS One, PLOS, Potential Hominem Affinities of Gracilopithecus from the Late Miocene of Europe in Mycenaean Age and Savanna Environment of the Possible Hominin Gracilopithecus from Europe, announced the University of Toronto as cited by PHYS.org. Balkans, not Africa. The researchers have investigated two fossils of Gracilopithecus Freibergi from Bulgaria and Greece with state-of-the-art methods and came to the conclusion that they belong to prehumans, demonstrating that the split of the human lineage occurred in the Eastern Mediterranean. You see? Eastern Mediterranean, part of the Nile Delta, where the Garden of Eden resided, as customarily assumed in Africa. It is noted that as present-day chimpanzees are humans' nearest living relatives, again, assumed, hypothesized, the question about where the last common ancestor of humans and chimpanzees lived has been a central and highly debated issue in paleoanthropology. Wow, that's a tongue twister, isn't it? Researchers have assumed up to now that the lineages of humans and chimpanzees diverged some 5.7 million years ago and that the first prehumans developed in Africa. According to the 1994 theory of French paleoanthropologist Yves Coppens, climate change in eastern Africa could have played a crucial role. Oh, no, wait a minute. Hold it. Climate change? Where have I heard that before? You mean there was climate change millions of years ago? I wonder what kind of cars they were driving. I wonder what kind of light bulbs they were using. Because, you know, after all, Al Gore says we humans are killing the planet and we must lower our carbon footprint. The team analyzed the two unknown specimens of the fossil hominid Gracilopithecus Freibergi, a lower jaw from Greece and again an upper premolar from Bulgaria. They used computer tomography to visualize the internal structures of the fossils and demonstrated that the roots of premolars are widely fused. While great apes typically have two or three separate and diverging roots, the roots of the Gracilopithecus converge and are partially fused, a feature that is characteristic of modern humans, early humans, and several prehumans, including Ardipithecus and Australopithecus, Professor Madeleine Boheim from the University of Tübingen has said. So, we continue. Now they showed pictures up. So, let's just see what the rest of this is. Let's see. It is noted that, as with the Out of East Africa theory, the evolution of prehumans may have been driven by dramatic environmental changes. See, there's that environmental changes stuff again, huh? The team led by Boheim had demonstrated that the North African Sahara Desert originated more than 7 million years ago. It has reached this conclusion based on geological analyses of the sediments in southern Bulgaria and southern Greece, in which the two fossils were found. The release of the University of Toronto notes that, although geographically distant from the Sahara, the red-colored silts are very fine-grained and could be classified as desert dust. So let's move on due to time constraints, and they show pictures of teeth and all that other good stuff. So, their conclusions will be presented at a science conference in Athens in early September. Further excavations are also planned to take in Greece as well in other Balkan countries, including the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, which is known to harbor a deposit of fossils of the same age as the one found in Greece and Bulgaria. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? So, let's move on to the Bible and geology. So, the lost rivers of the Garden of Eden. Let's take a look. The quest for pinpointing the exact location of the biblical Garden of Eden and the four rivers almost rivals the quest for the location of fabled Atlantis. And the theories that abound are almost as numerous as the interpretations of the 7 days of Genesis. So, hold on, I just want to grab something else. I think I should have opened with this one. Just give me a couple of seconds here for this to open up. Never mind, it's the same article. All right, so let's just move on with this. So let's see. In the theory, okay, so before tackling this question, let's review what is written about the four rivers. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first head is Pison. That is it which competh the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of the land is good. There is Bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates, which I believe is the one that's in Iraq. The Bible says that a single river flowed out of Eden and then does something that most rivers don't do. Specifically split into four separate heads, or rivers, that flowed downstream, all fed from a common single river source. Almost all rivers start from a single source or are fed by multiple sources, tributaries. For example, the Ohio River actually begins where two rivers, the Monongahela and the Allegheny, flow together at Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Ohio River terminates when it flows into the Mississippi River as one of that river's main tributaries, tributaries. So the names of rivers are an arbitrary thing, usually denoting only a portion of a great complex stream system with one stream flowing into another, which in turn may flow yet into another. This pattern of rivers as observed in nature is just the opposite of what the Bible describes about the River Eden. For that reason, nobody has been able to look at modern maps of the regions mentioned in Genesis and figure out exactly where the Garden of Eden was, at least by the present topography of the lands of the Middle East. Only one river of the four, the Euphrates, is known by the same name in modern times. It presently originates in the mountains of Turkey and terminate when it merges with the Tigris River near the Iraq-Kuwait border region. Many have speculated that the Tigris is the river Hiddekel. This has led to speculation that the Garden of Eden was located somewhere in Turkey. This is assumed because the present headwaters of the Euphrates River originate in Turkey, as do the headwaters of the Tigris. Now, Turkey, isn't it very close to Greece and Bulgaria? Wasn't Adam and Eve thrown out of the Garden of Eden? Where would they have gone? Well, they would have gone either north, east, west, or south in somewhat close proximity to point A. But as we've seen, they must have moved to Bulgaria and Greece. Now, I'm going to be very open and honest with you people. I am having a colonoscopy tomorrow, and I cannot eat food. I can only drink liquids. And so I'm going to play some of that Agenda 21 clip again, and I'm sorry, it's going to be from the beginning because I don't want to have dead air. I've got to run to the bathroom and urinate because I'm not going to be able to eat until tomorrow night. So please give me 30 or 40 seconds. I do apologize.
This study is an urgent wake-up call to investigate the causes of the sharp ongoing drop in sperm count.
Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you, many kings and prophets have desired to see what you see, and have not seen it. To hear what you hear, and have not heard it. I thank you, Father, for hiding these things from the learned and the wise, and revealing them to the innocent and the simple.
Have sperm counts declined? Definitely Yes. Our international team of researchers screened 7,500 studies for the first ever meta-analysis on trends in sperm counts. From 1973 to 2011, we found an alarming decline of over 50% in both sperm concentration and total sperm count among men from Western countries unselected by their...
Okay, so I'm back, and again, I apologize for that. I'm going to be doing this all day and a lot worse later when I take the prep drink. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun, but, you know, it's worth it. When you reach a certain age, you got to have things checked out. It's better to prevent. And, well, if they find something, you know, it is what it is. But we'll find out. So, so where were we? Okay. Others have proposed that the other end of the Euphrates River, where it meets the Tigris, may be the true location. This requires interpreting the Tigris River as one of the other three, the Hiddekel, then interpreting a tributary confluence of rivers as a river head, and then locating at least two more rivers, or old river beds, as the other missing two. Having done so, they then claim that the Garden of Eden was near present-day Kuwait. Okay. This is a convenient solution, but not one supported by the literal wording of the Bible or the geological and geographical realities of what river head means, i.e. headwaters or source of origin. You will notice that the present-day headwaters of both the Tigris and Euphrates originate in Turkey, very close to each other in mountainous terrain. Logically, one would assume that if two of the rivers started there, the other two must have done so as well, if Turkey was the location of Eden. Neither the Pison nor Gihon rivers are ever mentioned again in the Bible. However, the Hiddekel River is. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, that's from the book of Daniel, King James Version. This reference by the prophet Daniel comes from a vision he had while with the children of Israel during the Babylonian captivity. This would put David somewhere in the area of present-day Iraq and would make the present-day Tigris River a fairly good candidate for the Hiddekel River spoken of by the prophet, as it is the one other great river known in that region today. But the Bible says that this river, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the historical map of the location of Assyria shows that the Tigris actually goes southeastward. And again, there's a map here, and I'm going to try to put up on Facebook a collage of maps. Let me show you what this map looks like through my eyes. And then again, I will grab this photo. So the first article talks about the Balkans and the Greeks having the oldest... All right, they want to say pre-human. I'll just say humanoid bones just recently discovered. The Mediterranean Nile Delta. This map also includes the Black Sea, Greece, Bulgaria, which was under another name, you know, way back in biblical times, Kingdom of Urartu, the Scythians. But you see, folks, that region, that map is showing you where the four rivers branched out to. So it would make sense, ladies and gentlemen, that humankind did not begin in sub-Sahara Africa. Matter of fact, this map this map, its most southern point that it's showing you is Libya and Egypt and the Assyrian Empire. It doesn't go any more south than that. So we could see where the Garden of Eden was somewhere in the Turkey-Grecian area when the first humans, Adam and Eve, or, hey, you know, because Adam means man and Eve means woman. Let's just say the first humans were removed from Turkey, taken out of the Garden of Eden, and they expanded and they branched out. Remember, Cain was exiled after he killed his brother. He could have went north, east, west, or south. We weren't there. But do you see how finding these bones at least qualify and prove that what Moses wrote about, God knows how many years after the fact, but he gave us the general location of the beginnings of man, and science is proving it. We must now search out the probable locations of the two rivers. It is here that the theories that the Garden of Eden was either in Turkey or Kuwait starts to lose credibility. So I guess we're going to find out, you know, exactly where it is, right? First, let's identify the geographical region of the Pishon River. Well, I'm going to have to scroll down. I got to get to the ending of this. So where do they think it is? In summary, although the modern-day geology and topography of the Middle East does not readily reveal the exact location of the Garden of Eden and the four river source, guidance by faith from the Holy Bible and a forensic study of the region's geology reveals the matter. The available data appears to suggest that present-day Israel was the central location of the Garden of Eden. In the next chapter, we'd begin our study about the dynamics of Noah's flood. Now, so they must have gone through where they've correctly identified all four rivers. We now have two rivers, Euphrates and the Tigris, originating today out of Turkey, and another running down what is now the Red Sea, south of Israel and deep into Africa, following the path of the present-day Great Rift System. For the moment, we will now also include the previously discussed Fossil River running through Saudi Arabia. Either way, there's another map. The farthest north of this map shows the Black Sea, which is where Bulgaria, Turkey, Greece all come into the Mediterranean Sea and the Nile Delta. So, it is reasonable to conclude that man did not start in subterranean Africa. He began in the Nile Delta, ranging from the Black Sea, the Bulgarian Greece area, all the way to Spain, Egypt, and Morocco. That is where man began, and Genesis gave us that location, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about another situation where science proved the Bible right once again. I was watching a show many months ago, Miracles of the Bible, and this poor guy, I really felt bad for this guy. He wanted to look for the Tower of Babel because he didn't trust what the Bible said. He wrote several books. He did a 20-year study of something that I knew after just reading the book of Genesis, which took minutes as opposed to years. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, New International Version. Now the whole world had one language and a one common speech. That would be, ladies and gentlemen, the one world order. As people, moved eastward, they found the plain in Shinar and settled there. Now, interesting. We're going to discover where Shinar is. And I'm going to give us the scientific location as well. Because this is also going to support the claim that the earliest bones were found in Greece and Bulgaria, which I will show to you was west of Shinar. So I'll say again. Now the whole world had one language and one common speech. Gee, wouldn't that be the origination of man? As people moved eastward, so they must have lived west of where they came from. They found the plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth." So they wanted to set up basically a one world government, folks. That's your new world order. You see, they changed the name a little bit. They called it they're calling it now a new world order. See, a rule of law, a paradise built by man. But you see, it is not a new world order. It is a very old world order. And they realized that they better make this tower quickly, and they better form a totalitarian government now, or people are going to naturally, as population grows, the area is going to get too condensed, and they're going to move in, you know, only four possible directions, right? Again, and I'm repeating myself, but you have to follow this logically. They're going to go north, east, west, and south. They're going to become more diverse. They're going to create their own tribes, colonies, cities, and states. And they're going to have their own power structure. But these people here, and that's where Nimrod, the first king, was documented in the Bible. They wanted to contain power. They wanted to create a one world order. But divine intervention ensued. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us. Now that's God and his heavenly court, which we know that Jesus was the firstborn of creation, so he's involved. So come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, man cannot handle absolute power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Man can only be free, can only live in an atmosphere of liberty if we have diversity. If power is distributed independently. We see this with the European Union. The European Union is condensing power and control, and look at the damage it is doing to Western Europe, and now they are attacking Eastern Europe, Poland and Hungary in particular, who are resisting totalitarianism. Look what the federal government has been doing ever since the passing of the 14th Amendment in 1868, basically severely weakening, if not nullifying, the 10th Amendment, which gave power to the states. And look at the ramifications of our society by the Supreme Court deciding now for all 50 states what is morally and ethically correct. Consolidating power, and that costs money, doesn't it? The expansion of power and control calls for more worker bees. That calls for more taxation. Consolidation of power is totalitarianism that is unnatural. And in this instance, Jehovah saw that we have to intervene here and stop this. So the Lord scattered them from all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, as if you're babbling. Because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them all over the face of the earth. So, let's see where Shinar is. Now, we know that the people moved eastward from point A, which was the Garden of Eden, which we can say was anywhere within the Nile Delta, ranging anywhere as high as Greece, Turkey, and the Balkans, the Black Sea, where we now have the oldest humanoid bones, all the way southward from Egypt to Israel and Syria, that whole region. So, let's find out where Shinar is. Very quickly, the name Shinar occurs 8 times in the Hebrew Bible, in which it refers to Babylonia. This location of Shinar is evident from its description as encompassing both Babylon, you see, there you go. That's where the Tower of Babel was. In northern Babylonia, in Uruk, in southern Babylonia. So, if we Google it again, where is present day Babylonia? Ooh, look at this. Babylon is the most famous city from ancient Mesopotamia, whose ruins lie in modern-day Iraq, 59 miles southwest of Baghdad. The name is thought to derive from Bav-il or Bav-ilim, which in the Akkadian language of the time meant gate of God, or gate of the gods, and Babylon coming from Greek. Now, what does this have to do with that anthropologist or geologist, whatever he was at the time, and his 20-year journey finding the Tower of Babel? I will tell you, and then we'll conclude here, and we'll pick up tomorrow. The man concluded, after 20 years of research, of travel, of digging, of data mining, he concluded that the Tower of Babel was located in southern Iraq. I could have told him that myself, reading the book of Genesis, which gave us the exact location thousands of years ago. And the only way Moses could have known that, who wrote the book of Genesis thousands of years later, is because Jehovah Jireh spoke to him and gave him the location, because pre-human man couldn't have known that without divine inspiration, proving that the Bible is the Word of God. It is so glorious. And I'm going to conclude with that song again for this series. My name is Michael B. This is The Truth Zone. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. It is just glorious.
Glorious!
All right. Thank you very much for listening. Tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central, we will continue on with fact-checking the Bible.